podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murderer beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I screw my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murderer beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I just do my thing, I don't need to. Middle with the field in check like scores. But I still grind and chase my scores. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mugga. I'm joined this week by a star-studded panel. Go around and introduce them, even though you know them all pretty well. Reemed, how you doing, man?
I'm good, you know, guys. I'm a little poorly today. So if my voice sounds a bit mad, just know man's been on the Lemsip Max for a hot minute now, so
yeah. We appreciate you coming through, bro.
No problem at all.
Cool. We're also joined by Elijah, who started this thing where he's either eating or drinking something.
Have you put some batteries in that smoke alarm yet?
Nope.
The whole time we've got done Mugga, that smoke alarm has done that beep.
Wait. Okay,
somebody said in the comments last week that they thought it was a mic issue.
Let's have a conversation about the smoke alarm, yeah? Because how comes it has enough battery to keep making that sound for 4 years, but what?
It can't work.
It ain't ready to but it's been low on power for 4 years.
And it's still making that noise. It clearly isn't that low power. That's what I'm saying. They're trying to trick y'all.
It's hilarious. I had the same when we went, obviously, 2020 COVID times or working from home era, I had a fire alarm that did the same thing. And I had to change one out of shame because you know how these work colleagues are. Is that your fire alarm?
I don't change it, bro.
Focus on work.
Yeah, I mean, you're just being defiant at this point. It's not about, so I just ended up changing it as a result. So I know that sound very well. But yeah, I was saying somebody in the comments last week was saying that they thought it was a mic issue all this time. So it's a staple of the pod, but good to have you on, brother. How have you been?
I've been fantastic, you know. It's a great day.
Yeah, it's been a good weekend for you, yeah? Good stuff.
Fantastic weekend.
And we're also joined live for maybe Seattle Grace, maybe on the comedy tour. We can never quite know with you, Doctor. How goes it?
Yeah, we're all good, man. We're all good. Yeah, same with Elijah. My Sunday was better than my Saturday.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. We'll get into all things results over the next hour or so. But before we go into the rejoicing about Sunday, let's start with our own home. The 5:30 All Eyes on Me on the Saturday away at Bournemouth. This was a game that in advance, Elijah, you were very much, they're going to have something nasty for us. So I'm going to start with you. They went to, and I actually respect this because it takes me back to Mourinho versus Barcelona back in the early mid 2000s. They went to the trouble of waterlogging one side of the pitch against a team that I'm sure you expected to pop anyway. So there's that extra level of just making sure it hurts more. What were your thoughts going into the game once you saw the lineup?
What was the lineup? I just thought, whatever. I mean, the good news was Anthony was out. I was just like, what I expected, to be fair. It's going to be this bullshit until the end of the season. So I'm just like, whatever, man. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much the usual lineup. But then we had Maguire and Kambala, centre backs, Dalot and Wan-Bissaka.
What are your thoughts on the fact that Mount cannot get a start in this team?
Not surprised.
It's the Kobe effect, because Bruno can't be dropped.
We said this in the summer, though.
What about Casemiro?
Hey, he needs a DM in there. Mount can't play DM.
But the thing is Casemiro even playing DM right now?
Is he even playing football?
This is the legend of the game, you know. We're just disrespecting the legend out here.
Nah, man.
We're disrespecting the legend, man. The thing about the old days, They're the old days.
Nah, you can't do Casemiro like this.
No, it's listen, Elijah makes I'd remake a great point. Is Casemiro even playing yet? I don't know what position that brother's playing.
So it's chaos ball. Chaos ball.
In that regard, Reams, are you thinking drop Mainu back and then a two of Bruno and Mount?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't used it once. Based
at least we'll be able to string two passes together. Like,
do you know what?
If we're gonna concede 20 shots a game, at least get off 15 shots of our own, man. Like,
I don't know. You know what? Again, this is where we talk about like, yeah, this playing squad is not the best, but when you just see him make, try it just once, just to see, and at least if it doesn't work, then you know it doesn't work. He literally just plays the same players every single week, churns out the same crap every single week, and then shows up to the press conferences with an attitude when people ask him questions. Aren't we on course to have the worst points total in our history of the Premier League?
I don't think so. Because we got, 50 points if we get...
What, was it 58 under Moyes? What was it under Moyes?
Now, you're like saying we got 5-0 under somebody.
No. We have 50 points right now. We need to get 58 to beat Ranić and Moyes. So, yeah.
I think we are 4 points behind where we were with David Moyes before we played Bournemouth, I think. In that 58-point season.
Because Moyes went on the 34th game and then we won 2, drew 1. So we had 50 points at 34 games. So I believe like we lost our 34th game. So like on 33, we had 50 points. So it's like it's kind of similar right now.
We got Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, Palace away, Arsenal at home, Newcastle at home, Brighton away. So on paper, we should somehow get to above 58 points, right?
Well, you'd hope so. You'd hope so.
Cool. But anyway, back to that question about Mount. Yeah, it's the fact he hasn't tried it even once. I think it just says it all. And obviously, we know Bruno's ever present, effervescent, man. The guy doesn't get injured and obviously grabs two goals too. So obviously he's the hero. Let's talk through the goals, talk through some of the performances. The first goal. So obviously Garnacho loses it, Solanke gets played in, Kambuala slips over, and a really good finish from Solanke from almost outside the box. Any thoughts?
You can't slip there, man. It's funny.
I think a lot of players on this team have an issue controlling the football. Especially the attacking ones, and it's not ideal. That's my thoughts on that goal.
I think a bit of technical
security will go a long way in this team.
You know what? That's very... And it's really concerning that there are small things that other players can do that really make... be happy to see, because I've been starved of it for like 10 years now. But I think for Kambuala, I feel like I didn't expect him, like he was kind of slow on the turn, and then Solanke gets there, then he tries to recover for his mistake, and then we've seen what happens when you do that. You get all bent out of shape and then you start slipping inside and all over the place. And as you said before, they waterlogged the pitch, so that was just a bad combination. And then it was a good strike from Solanke. But it's so crazy because even though I don't expect Onana to save that, the way he dives...
I didn't want to speak on it. I was trying to...
The worst thing is, I don't even think that's a mistake. But the way he dives, it makes it look like he should get closer.
Dive normally that he would have got closer. I don't know.
No, it's like...
Because he's a slow diver. He dives slow.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't even think that he can do anything. But I think it was a good finish. But it was just like, can you at least not make it look like you're bad? Like, just for my sake. But, to be fair, he had nothing to do with that goal. Very, very, very poor from Garnacho. By the way, at the start of the game, I saw that same thing I saw against Brentford where he was drifting across the pitch and doing that double-up thing with Rashford, and I couldn't believe it. But that stopped straight after we conceded the goal, thank God. I mean, it was a mistake from Kambwala. And to be fair, he got taught a lesson that game, but he's 19.
He hasn't played much at this level, right?
He's up against probably this season top three strikers between, I believe, Isaac, Watkins and Solanke. They've been the three best performing strikers for me. So, yeah, he just got taught a lesson. He done relatively well in terms of getting back into it, his mentality, because he had a hand in the first goal. But these things are gonna happen with young players, even with Garnacho. He's played a lot of games, but he's still young, and the peaks and troughs is gonna happen with him, and also obviously with the injuries and stuff. So yeah, for me it's fine. Right, it's whatever.
Fair. Let's speak on that equalizer. So that's the shot from close range. Bruno Fernandes smashes it in on his left foot. Kambwala, good tackle, takes a bit of the man, love a bit of that for my defender. Garnacho's involved, Rashford's involved, and kind of bundles, ends up with Bruno Fernandes, and he smashes it in. Any thoughts on the skipper? Oh, Reem's even muted himself.
He said, let me not speak on this.
It's 4-3 for him now.
Hey.
4-3.
Bruno Fernandes, man. All things Bruno. All right, cool.
We can't buy a W, but Bruno's back in a good vein of form.
Which is...
I love it. I love it, man.
Good technique, good finish. Good technique. But that's the thing with Bruno. In those positions, you know he's going to score. So, you know, that's one thing you can guarantee about Bruno Fernandes. His technique will never fail him.
Striking technique, yeah. Cool. And then Justin Kluivert scores a goal to make it 2-1. I think it was a good finish.
What was going on with Dalo and Garnacho? Like, they can speak English to each other. They can speak Spanish, Portuguese. What languages were they speaking that they couldn't communicate that they left the man spare?
It was Haki Garnacho's fault, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't track his man.
He didn't engage. He didn't engage with the man.
Yeah, so it's either you engage with the man or you either drop in so he can't play an easy pass, and he was just in no man's land.
Right.
And like, people were trying to blame Dalo when he's actually trying to go, when he's actually trying to affect play. And I'm like, he had to make a choice at that point. Of course, if he stays inside, you pass the guy who is wider. But it's like, he's thinking, Garnacho is going to engage the man, so that pass is not going to get through anyway. So it goes to the best choice. And then Kambwala, he legit pointed beforehand, said, I'm going to stick with Solanke. What do you, man, need to go there? And it was just poor from Garnacho. For both goals, it was poor from Garnacho. It was a good finish. It went through legs, and then Nana wasn't able to get down to it. But I can't blame him for that one. So it's fine.
Fair. Yeah. I agree. And then obviously it feels like it's been a minute, but it hasn't been a minute. A Bruno Fernandes penalty. What did you guys think of us in the second half generally?
I watched that game and I'm like, you know what, yeah. Like, of course we are chasing the game because we want to get back into it. But brother, just five passes before you try something extravagant. No. Everything was just Rashford and Inshallah. I'm thinking, brother, come on, bro. Like, it was ridiculous. The amount of times that Casemiro and Bruno just tried to fling. There was even one time where Bruno was complaining to Rashford because he was going to try a quick free kick to launch over. And then because Rashford didn't see it, Bruno was complaining. I'm thinking, fam, can we just have like 2 minutes where we just settle down? And like, literally, there was a piece of play where I think Ahmad broke on the right, and then he broke ahead of everyone else, and then he turned back to recycle, and I saw that getting praised, and I'm like, that should not be getting praised. But even when I saw that, I was like, hallelujah!
It's getting praises because it's simple things like that that our players, like the only player on our team that really does stuff like that is Antony. Like it or not, like he's the only one that really like retains the ball at like a really high level in this team.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. He's got first ball trying to get it into the box. He does.
But obviously people won't praise Antony for shit like that because all the stuff he's crap at. Everyone, everyone's too angry about it to praise him for like the simple stuff. You know what I mean, Ahmad is still quite new here, so like the fact that he's just nice and technical, he could turn out of problems. He could dribble out a little bit of pressure. He could combine little give and goes. Like as soon as he come on, he got the ball, did a little combination. I think with him, Dallo, Bruno got in the box. You know what I mean? Like we put a move together. Like immediately, as soon as he got on the ball, we put a little move together, got into their box. And like you always see the stats, like our opposition touches in United box like 57, like us is like 4. Like so, even just being able to get into the opponent's box is like an impressive thing for this team because we don't really do anything well at this point in time. We don't defend well. We don't transition well on attack. We don't build play well. We ain't good at set pieces. Like the only thing we do well is score like incredible goals out of nowhere.
We are so bad at set pieces. It's
so does guys that could come in and just improve the team on a basic technical level is going to look impressive. I even think back to a few games ago against Chelsea when Mason Mount come on. Before we conceded the two goals, just Mason Mount being able to just get the ball, give it back, retain it, a little bit of, just so we can string 3-4 passes together. Like I was even watching that, like, yeah, this is a decent cameo. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, right now we're in the we're starving. We've been in the we're starving stage for a hot minute, but there's at least a period of time where we had like players on the pitch that could do amazing stuff on the ball. Your Martials, your Pogba's, your Rashford before he broke his back. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, Marcus Rashford.
What's changed? Because when Kobe came into the team, these are the things we'll say: technical, security, good on the ball.
We don't give him the ball.
He doesn't get on the ball. He needs him to get on the ball. He needs him to get on the ball to show that.
Just run the routes. Yeah.
I could not believe it. Like in our midfield, I think Casemiro had like 90 touches, Bruno 90 touches, Kobe had 45, bro. Our best technical player, we are not given the ball for what?
That's why at this point I'm just like, play him as a six, bro. Like play him as a six. Like he's our best player on the ball. Play him in a position where he's gonna get the ball all the time. Like
so like deep line playmaker, so to speak, in that sort of vibe. You mean
that's just play him as a six, like flat out, just play him as a six.
Until we could get
a proper one in, and then he could go play as an eight where he's supposed to play.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's not like Casemiro's doing anything good there. He's mobile, he's combative. I haven't heard many better ideas, to be fair. Yeah. Cool.
Right now, with the press, the ball just passes him by, man. Like it's almost like there's this huge gap between Casemiro and then Bruno presses, and then it's like he's telling Kobe to press, and then they. As any team beats that press, and then everyone's running back, and Casemiro is trying to chop man. He gets left in his ass, and then they're free on goal, and it's just like that repetitive cycle every time we're on midfield.
Yeah, I mean, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. No.
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool. Let's speak on a couple of performances. So Ahmad got a bit of a cameo. How do you guys think he did? I mean, we're not going to see him for another month, but how do you think he did?
He was fine. He wasn't able to do much because for some reason we didn't pass him as much as we should have. But yeah, he was fine. What, he had like 26 touches, which, he was okay. There was times where he lost it, trying to be a bit too intricate, but. At least I could see what he was trying to do. And then even those times, even before when we got the pen, it was him where he was the one to retain it. Because I know those guys itching to just swing it into the box. But he was the one who retained it and actually circulated it well. And then we was able to get the pen from there. But he was okay. But it'll be interesting to see what happened on Sunday, considering the rumours around the other two contenders in his spot, but I doubt there's much credence to that. But yeah, he was fine. But the one thing I didn't like was the fact that he came in off the line far too early, rather than staying. And this is one thing, this is another thing that Anthony does quite well, is that he will stick to the byline for as long as possible to stretch the defence, whereas Ahmad, you could see him constantly coming into that pocket early, rather than waiting there and then trying to come in at the most opportune point. But to be fair, he does like the central errors more. I do feel like he will eventually be like a 10 or an 8. So I understand. But yeah, apart from that, he was okay. He didn't get on the ball enough for me to really affect the game for some reason.
Yeah, fair. How did you guys think Marcus Rashford did?
Mid. He had a couple decent. Again, he didn't really get loads of the ball or like loads of the balls in like dangerous areas, but he had a couple opportunities like 1v1 situations. Mm. And he didn't really capitalize on, didn't really contribute anything that positive to the game, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rasmus.
He was scrapping, but I felt he wasn't holding the ball well enough. There's a lot of times it got played into him and then it'll just bounce back because that pinball football at times.
Just watching the difference between him and Solanke. I know Solanke's in the middle of his prime, like entering his prime, and Rasmus is just at the start. But just the difference in just like their ability to just the sophistication of their centre forward play. You know what I mean? Yeah.
One polished.
Like, Solanke seemed like he's the one that should have been playing for Manchester United, and Rasmus playing for Bournemouth. You know what I mean?
Woo.
But no, but like to be fair, I remember Solanke 6 or so years ago. He did look kind of like this in the Prem as well, but that's not.
I mean, he was always technically good.
Yeah,
he was always technically good. His body, he hadn't grown into his man body yet, like he has now. But like the technical quality was always there. Like it was a little bit. His style of play is very physical.
Yeah.
So if you want to play that style of play and you're not in your man body, you're going to struggle. But like Rasmus Højlund's got a man body. Like it's not like Rasmus Højlund's body isn't the issue here.
It's
his execution.
He needs to stop this Rikishi cosplay. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry. Any time this guy loses confidence, he says, "You know what? I'm just gonna back into my man, post up, give him a wine."
And a Memphis Depay special, man.
I'm
off for one season for that crap.
I'm sick of it. Like, just like the one time he was playing well, he stopped it.
Confidence is a crazy thing. Like we watch these players have it and not have it like weekly, and how he was playing before he obviously got injured and he's scoring every single game, and just how he was linking up, he's always tried. He's been a tryhard, so you can't knock him for that. But just how he drop deep, link up with players, not always make the best runs, but be a willing runner, to then watch him go back again, like you say, to that kind of like back, like you're not. He is in his man body, but he's not strong enough to overpower the majority of the guys that he's trying to do that with. So that is not your game. That's not what you should be trying to do. Like, you should be trying to face up. You should be trying to use your speed and your mobility. Try and get in positions where you can just use your left foot and ras it whenever you can, to be honest with you. Just shoot, bro. What have we got to lose? Cool. I mean, from top to bottom, like, the tactics are off, the performances are off, and it just feels like the general vibe is that we're just trying to get to the end of the season. And to that, there's a bit of like afters after this game. So obviously in a post-game press conference, Erik ten Hag spoke a little bit about Alejandro Garnacho, the errors he made that you guys called out on the pod, mentioned that he was leggy, he'd been injured during the week. So the fact he started him, to be honest, was bizarre. Garnacho then went on to like those tweets on his Twitter account. I think it was mentioned today that it's been handled internally. They spoke to Dallo about the number of shots that we concede, and he was less nonplussed about it. He feels it's not a good thing. I'd agree with him, despite how many of them are on target. And there was an issue with Antony too, I believe, around his playing times. So it feels like there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Do you think the Wolves, does anyone here think the Wolves fall off before the season finishes?
I think now top four is definitely done, especially with the way English teams are doing in Europe. Well, I mean, they're not doing badly, but I don't think they will do enough to ward off Germany.
Another season of whoa.
I can't even lie. The way that Thursday was looking. It might be bringing me back in. I can't even lie, man. You know,
I'm a Thursday night enjoyer, but my
I could not believe people really wanted to finish fourth rather than first.
It was copium. It was copium.
This is what I needed. That fucking Europa League with
a little endorphin against a young I don't know.
You know what?
A little confidence boost.
Exactly.
A little Rashford stat pad, you know what I mean? Like,
come on. Five goals in Europe.
But yeah, I feel like what was I even talking about, bro?
We were talking about
The wheels falling off before the end of the season.
So I just feel like, yeah, man. Like with the whole Garnacho thing, the apparent Antony thing, what Dallo said, it doesn't look good. And then even at the end of the game, the way Ten Hag looked, that's the last time I saw that look was when City lost to Burnley in 2015. And the way Pellegrini looked so shook for his life, I was like, yeah, this guy in his head said, yeah, my job's done here, bro. Like, he was just thinking, yeah, I'm finished. And Ten Hag just literally looked, shaking his head. I was thinking, yeah, man, I might be done. And hopefully he is, because he really does not deserve another chance after the season. It's been shocking from every single angle. Not all of it his fault, but he has made it as bad as possible with all of his decisions. And yeah, I feel like the walls are closing in. If we do lose to Coventry, which isn't out the realms, because you know Sims and fucking that American U. If they give us a hot one, I wouldn't be surprised, bro. I can't even lie. So,
that'll be it. Lose to Coventry. I don't think you stay to the end of the season if you lose to Coventry. I don't want to sound dramatic, but I think it really falls off then.
I actually feel like that would be the smartest thing to do, because at the end of the day, if you bring in a manager as soon as possible, that's planned for the summer. So, like, it's not even about the season anymore, because, quite frankly, I'm trying to lose as much so that we don't even have Europe next season.
And then that's little seven.
We've got youths to feed. We've got YGs. We need to give minutes.
But do you know what? We don't, because we actually need to sell for FFP. So the youths that I'm trying to see, the youths that are probably going to play right now, we might just need to sell them off, which is whatever. Yeah, man, I really don't care. I mean, it's just been a horrible, horrible season. And I feel like Ten Hag probably thought he had the cachet from last season with the third, with the FA Cup final, with the League Cup, to like say, you know what? Even if I continue with this style of play that I want to play, they will stick with me. Brother, this is a different type of club, bro. Like, you can't be playing this type of football and getting these results and thinking that, like, the noise is not going to be unbearable. So this is all his fault. And I really do hope he gets punished for it, because that's the best that can happen.
Yeah, they're punished for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
fair enough. Yeah, obviously news that I'm sure you'll be really happy about, Elijah Murtagh officially confirmed out. So the end of that regime. Any parting words, anybody? The John Murtagh era, hell of a time,
bro. 10 years. 10 fucking years. This guy was able to skirt under the radar for so many years.
It's a Linsanity run, man.
Nah, it's crazy, because people say, oh, but the work he done with the academy. Shut the fuck up, bro. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, man. Do you know what? I'm just happy he's gone. Yeah, man. He's such a pencil pusher. He's just a fucking nerd, man. I don't like him one bit. Yeah, I'm just glad he's gone.
Fair. All right. Let's get on to the hate watch. The hate watch weekend. What a weekend. Do you count Spurs in the hate watch?
I mean, I wasn't able to watch, but I just checked my phone.
I love that. We should talk about Spurs. Obviously, they're competing for the top four and the other race we were in. But just seeing people in and around you fall over. Oh, it's beautiful, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy. That was lovely. But let's get on to the real stuff. Let's get on to Sunday. So, like I said...
Wait. I'm sorry. That Van de Ven thing, I'm sorry, yeah. That was fucking crazy. That was fucking crazy. The worst
bigging him up as well.
The worst bit about it was that his mouth was wide open when the
why was his face like that? Why was he like that? Like, I don't know. Why was he like that?
Like,
what would you be like if you feel like that? Would you just be like deadpan, like
body contorted, leg spread, mouth open? That is not
facial expression would you make?
Huh? That is a crazy question right now.
Having them images on your CV, yeah.
Bro, he's done.
Having them images on your CV in the social media era.
This man could win a bloody Ballon d'Or. They are going to post that picture of him beside him holding up the Ballon d'Or.
That is insane. Like, that is somehow...
They did Lisandro worse and he didn't even get cooked.
Right. Bro.
Salah ended his dribble by passing the ball. Like, let's have it right. Isaac ducked him and slapped the ball in the back of the net.
I'm sorry, that Doctor Strange Paul Martinez thing is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. That's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. That is incredible. Whoever done that, they need to be up for a bath door.
That was good pepper store. That was good pepper.
The creativity and the quick thinking of human beings in 2024, in this social media era, it astounds me. I'm actually so impressed. Like,
it's up there with the Joe Gomez Ice Spice edit.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Brian. Joe Gomez Ice Spice edit.
Like, how does your brain go there so quick? It's insane, man. So that was... I'm a baddie, I get what I want. Van de Ven absolutely spazzed on. Villa obviously have dealt with Arsenal, so they look good. They might look good value for money for that fourth. Let me actually take a quick look at the table. So Villa are fourth with 63. Spurs are 3 points behind in the game in hand. So they're still tussling, to be fair.
Yeah, but their game in hand is against
City.
Chelsea, right?
Is it Chelsea?
Yeah. The game in hand is against Chelsea, and then the other game. Well, because I think they have two games in hand on most people, but I think on the ones around them, it's one. But yeah, so they have a game in hand against Chelsea, a game in hand against Arsenal. So.
Right, they got Arsenal, they got Chelsea, they got Liverpool, they got City. Fair enough, man.
Yeah. So like, it's gonna be like, if we were actually serious for like the past week, we actually would be in with actual chance. But yeah, unfortunate.
Facts. All right, let's go into the real stuff. So obviously, Liverpool. Early kickoff on the Sunday. It feels like they play Crystal Palace five times a season. What is that? Huh?
They
played them like the other week, the Harvey Elliott late winner. Like, it feels like that was like a month ago. Mm.
Bro, that was it. That was definitely in like October, November, bro. That feels like years ago.
Nah, that doesn't feel like I remember that game because I thought I was eating, bro.
Yeah, do you know what? I did not watch that game. So all I saw was 1-0. Then I checked that full time, saw 2-1. I said, I can't. But fair. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the blood of my enemies, man.
I mean, that goal, by the way, what a fucking move. Wharton, fucking player.
I
cannot wait to see if Eze somehow stays, Wharton, Doucouré, Wuan Doucouré Eze,
right.
London Overground, you'll see me travel that line every single week to watch Crystal Palace. That is
right there.
That is fucking football. That's fucking football right there.
That Wharton's classy, man.
He's so good, man. So good. But yeah, Liverpool. I mean, that's the real enemy right there. They cannot.
Yeah, you absolutely detest them. So
they cannot win. They can't win. They can't win. Arsenal was just the little extra bit on the side. They
Arsenal was like, because I never expected it. Like Liverpool, you know Liverpool, there's always a chance. They give you a little, there's always a chance.
They love to concede, innit?
Yeah. Mm. Arsenal, like, I didn't see that L. That L was like, I would have been just fine with a Liverpool L, I'll be real. Mm. That was enough to feed me for that Sunday. The Arsenal L was like, you know, like when you're at the restaurant and someone's birthday and they come out with like a big cake.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, everyone can share this cake now. That's what that Arsenal L was, but I wouldn't mind a Man City L as well. That would have been all right, but we know what's coming for the rest of the season. So
yeah, it's all wins. It's all wins for me. Yeah,
we just got to rely on Real Madrid midweek.
Yeah,
if Real Madrid win, I've won the season because
that's it. Isn't it?
I've got everything I need. You can't be
winning. The only thing left will be to cook them in the FA Cup final. That would be
right.
A double treble.
Yeah, I mean,
that means more than a Premier League to me. I'll be real.
Double treble is crazy. But like I've always said, my team of accountants and lawyers, they're ready to take that off them.
Like 2050, bro. Like, by the time they resolve it, we barely even remember. Oh, yeah, Pep, we play for that team. Aguero, David Silva. Yeah, whatever, man. Good luck to them. Cool. So that's us. Is there any news that you guys want to discuss about Manchester United in a minute, or is everyone literally in that mode of like, let's just get to the end of the season and we can close? Yeah,
we're on vacation right now, bro.
Cancun
time right now, bro. Season's done.
Fair enough, bro.
We got FA Cup. What was it, weekend? We got FA Cup.
Coventry at Wembley.
Yeah, like. We're going to get outplayed by another lower league team
and
steal a win.
As
long as Ahmad gets a start from here on out for the rest of the season, then it might... A
singular start.
I start to lose faith in my own takes, but I did say if Ahmad is just patient, eventually these clowns on the right wing, they'll do something.
Just sheer patience.
Yeah, like they'll
give you an opportunity.
To be fair, they are both South American, so like just through the sheer fact of that, you're gonna get a chance through some stupidness that they do. But also, if there's any Cov man who wanna get taken around London, I got ditch for you. That's what
I'm gonna say. Man's offering ditch.
When you come out of Shoreditch Station, there's a red carpet.
Aladdin's got the magnum there and everything.
A red carpet, a shot of Ray and nephews. Let's go, man.
Come on, man. You know me.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't fathomed us not winning that game, to be honest with you. But it's not outside the realms of possibility. But I think we should see that through. And then, we get whoever wins that at Chelsea or City. So, lovely prize there. But Ten Hag can leave with another trophy. I'm happy for him. But this is based on thoughts before he got here, then how last season went. This has been horrible, man. You know, it's the hope that kills you. It is genuinely the hope that kills you. Like, off the back of last season, I could never have fathomed things would get this bad this quickly, to the point where I just can't stand the sight of him, to be honest with you. Let's finish up with some listeners' questions. We've got quite a few. First one is from Tash27_. How many players do you guys realistically see leaving in the summer? I can only see around 6 or 7, but if it was down to me, I'd fire a good 15 of them out of a cannon.
There's going to be at least 10, minimum 10.
Well, let's go through the names.
10, easy.
Like you have
Moran's
to
be gone.
He probably is 6 or 7.
Who said that? Gone. So who'd you say to those first three reams?
Varane's going. They're not renewing him. Martial's gone. They're not renewing him. Mm-hmm. Johnny Evans is gone. Expired.
Yep.
Sancho's going. That's 4.
Yep.
There's Amrabat gone.
Yeah.
Amrabat's gone. Van der Beek's going.
Did you say that, Elijah?
Van der Beek.
Yeah, has to go. Got to go. GTG. Casemiro, got to go. GTG, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. About to say, yeah, what's Casemiro? Yeah.
Casemiro's probably going. Christian Eriksen is going.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Eriksen, yeah.
And then
Anthony goes. If Ten Hag goes, Anthony goes.
I don't think there's, unless Ajax want to take him back on loan, I don't know.
I feel like
Palestri will probably go.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, that's the thing I was gonna say. If you include like the random man that, like, Alvaro Fernandez and Hannibal and Palestri, there's gonna be at least 10.
Yeah,
but even just first team guys, Lindelof might go.
Yeah,
Tom Heaton is probably going.
Yeah, couldn't spot him in the lineup. He could walk past me right now. I wouldn't know who he was.
And then we have to think. Okay, Maguire, McTominay. They're probably our most valuable assets right now in terms of like players we can actually make some money on.
They've actually, you know, their reputations. What, they're both in the last year.
We can't make that much on them. That's why last summer was so important. We can't actually, because I think Maguire has a year left unless we activate his thing, and McTominay same thing. So it's like, I don't, you know, like with them, we could probably get like a young 25, 30 for McTominay. Maguire,
I'd take 30 for McTominay tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think 30 for both. Let's go. 30 for both.
30 for both. You're mocking it.
What would you do, man?
40 for both, man. Come on.
40. Yeah, 40, I think at least 40 for both. Yeah, because Harry Maguire costs 80, man.
Yeah, because with Maguire, obviously he still has that. It's about like 16 million on that we need to clear for FFP. So he needs to be above that. So like. But that's still like, I feel like we can get that, but it's just his wages for a year, which is all right. Like,
what's he on a quarter mil a week?
He's on 195, which is not that bad. I say not that bad, but yeah, it's just compared to what the rubbish the rest are played. But yeah, I feel like we can get some decent money and then we can clear a bit off. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a long process. I just think it's gonna take time, and I don't feel like this summer's the one where we actually do a lot because it's still like there's a lot of flux.
We gotta get into the habit of just letting niggas' contracts expire, bro.
Taking a lot.
It's gotta be that. If it's gotta be that, that's what Arsenal did. If it's gotta be that, Arsenal even paid man to leave.
No, Aubameyang
and them, man, they paid the man to leave.
That you see, that's the thing. Like before, Arsenal were very strictly run in terms of the money, and then Josh Conke's son came in and was like, "I'm gonna take this on, and I want to make them the best team." So they started to make losses because they knew it'll make gains in the future.
They were invested. Yeah.
The Glazers, they would never think like that. That's why the whole Anthony thing is interesting, because it's like, yo. If they feel like this guy's not going to succeed, might as well take a loss on him now and then just cut him off. And then if we replace him well, we will succeed where we make that up. So it'll be interesting to see. But I feel like with a lot of these players, like just some man just need to be like paid off. I can't even lie. Like even with Wan-Bissaka, like he's going to have a year left. Like what are you going to do with him?
There must be a market for Wan-Bissaka, though, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's fine. But are we going to let him go?
I see Inter Milan linked. Obviously, Crystal Palace link could always be there.
I'm sorry. Wan-Bissaka in Milan is killing me. I can't lie. That is killing me. He is from South London. Him in Milan is killing me. I can't lie.
You don't see how long we spent on this one question?
Yeah, facts. So we agree. Heads will roll, but not necessarily expecting too much in terms of incomings, just with how we're set up financially.
The thing is, when you've made so many bad decisions
as well, the scope for getting them wrong is not massive. Like they have to hit, you know, they have to hit because it's another like dud on your book. So yeah, shout out the previous regime. Prince Lightwell, on squad alone, where do you think the team should have finished this season? How important is a good manager versus a good squad across a whole season? Well, you need both to ultimately win the big trophies, but I guess assuming all the same injuries, I'm going to twist that question a bit, assuming all the same injuries that we had, how well do you think a good manager could have done? Or how well?
Well, like a Pep. Are you saying like a Pep?
If he didn't have injuries?
No, assuming the same injuries.
Oh.
I think we would have made top four. If you're probably right where we are, bro.
Like sixth, seventh.
Nah, do you know what? I don't think so. The reason why I don't think we wouldn't be here is just because there were decisions that Ten Hag has made in game that has lost us points. And as
like,
much as
like the defensive subs that don't make us better,
there are things he does concede that loses us points. And people will talk about the games where his subs have won us points and whatever. And it's like, cool, but those are few and far between. I feel like the way we have set up has also like made us put us in this position. Though I don't think our position would change. We'll just be a lot closer and a lot happier in terms of top four. And that's it, really.
And listen, when you're defending the lead and you take off both your outlets to bring on centre-backs and DMs, the message you're passing to your opponents is that we're settling for this lead, we're going to defend for this rest of the game, and you can just continue to attack us until the game is over. And whenever we do that, what always happens? Because we can't defend anyway. We always end up conceding. So he does, and like literally, like look, like okay, we speak of Ahmad, yeah? That Ahmad is not even getting little like 15, 20-minute cameos off the bench. Why is that? Because most of the games we win is by a one-goal margin. And when there's like 10 minutes left and there's a one-goal margin, Ten Hag, instead of trying to force the issue and getting another goal to make it comfortable, is always trying to set up shop and settle. Like he coaches out of fear. So, and that's cost us bare points this season. Like just in terms of like his actual tactical setup being poor, his actual management of games and like his management of game states and using the skill set of his players in a smart way has been horrible as well, and that's cost us loads of points. So yeah, maybe I get what Elijah's saying. Maybe with like a different coach, we could, like, for example, them 7 points we coughed up in the last against Brentford, Chelsea, and Liverpool under a different coach. Maybe we win those games. Maybe you can't legislate for Wan-Bissaka's Bozo moment against Liverpool, but other than that, we probably stay out those games.
Yeah, I agree. I think
we're. And also, probably Dalot giving the pen in Chelsea as well. So,
but yeah, like,
I don't feel like that's a Bozo moment. I feel like he just got Madueke just beat him.
Yeah, he fell over.
Yeah, Madueke beat him and he fell over. Like,
yeah, he got cooked and then he was scrambling, just like
Kambwala. Are you thinking just the momentum took him
yeah,
out?
Yeah, like,
the momentum took Dalot, took Madueke out.
Like, you get cooked and then you're just scrambling and then he clips him. But, like, I just feel like... Also, the fact of the matter is we need to think about the fact that the amount of space these men have to cover game after game, and we've seen us lose points late in games continually. These men are tired and it's hard to concentrate when you're tired. And it makes sense why we keep losing it late, because, like, it's... Like guys are having to cover so much amount of space, like a split second is just the difference between a win and a draw or a draw and a loss. And these guys, they lose that because they are having to cover, they're having to make sprints, like 5, like 10 more sprints a game more than your average player, and cover double the amount of space. It's ridiculous. So
it's almost impossible how bad we are out of possession. Like, I feel like not having a coach at all and the players just going out and freestyling, they couldn't be like that bad out of possession if that was like the alternative. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
I am being so serious. Yeah. People will say, Onana, Rice, you put them in. I'm telling you, if you watch yesterday, yeah, in the second half, Villa played the running back. They played that extra pass in midfield when everyone pushed up and then there was a gap in midfield. No one was able to recover. Now think about the amount of times our midfielders like that every single game. There is no player on earth that can play in that midfield that could actually cover that space. It is insane what he's asking these men to do. And that's why he really has to go.
Fair.
Next question. That got to be said. That was a passionate speech, Elijah.
Next one, question is from ZDZ underscore, shout him out, long-term listener. What brings us more joy, and I'll go around here, a successful hate watch or Manchester United victory? I'll start with you, Michael.
Hey, successful hate watch. Any day of the week, man, because a Manchester United win, not right now, doesn't mean nothing. Apart from Coventry, where we want to get to the final, and I guess we've got Arsenal at home in our running. Those are the only two Man United games I'll actually look forward to. The rest is just the blood of my enemies, man. So, yeah, hate watch any day of the week.
Mm. How about you, Reams? Hate watch or a Manchester United victory?
It's not enough that I should succeed. Others should fail as well.
Oh, gosh. Fair. How about you, Elijah?
Do you know what? It's a hard question because when we beat Liverpool, yeah, you could not.
That euphoria was different.
Like, on my life, like, think of that. Like, that win, I was floating off the ground for like 5 days. And that's just off a win against Liverpool in the FA Cup. Like,
no, but there's a lot of context involved in that because,
yeah,
who we played, what it meant for their season, and who scored the winner.
Yeah, like, of course, but it's just like, I feel like
if Bruno scored a winner, I might have been like,
celebration. Yeah,
scored the winner.
Like, yeah, and then the celebration was it meant more, man. But don't you think that feeling is very specific to it being Liverpool?
That's what I was gonna say. Like, I feel like that hate for Liverpool is just really, it's just, but I mean, the thing is that even when United were winning, man, whenever Liverpool lost, it was just different to me, man. Mm. Like, I don't know, but like,
lose that 2007 Champions League final.
Mm. Fam,
yeah. All them Champions League final fam. L's against Real Madrid, yeah.
Nah. That one in 2022, I said I was terrified, man. I was thinking they can't do this, man. When they lost, yo, but like I said, that the thing is, yeah, that Liverpool one, there's nothing that can top that.
No, but the year before, Man City losing to Chelsea as well.
That one was just so funny to me. That one was funny. Like, it was actually so funny. Much. It was just so funny. Like, I feel like it's not like, to be fair, like with Arsenal, as much as it's just that their fans are annoying. They're like the team and the culture is not, but Liverpool, they're just a disgusting club. I hate them. Like, everything about them is just nasty. But like Arsenal, the fans are annoying, which is cool. But yeah, man, like that Liverpool hate watch, you can't top that, man. I can't lie. That's the best thing you have in your life.
I think the blood of my enemies, man. The blood of my enemies. Watching them become crushed.
And that's like, how you know. That's how you know our team ain't good.
Yeah. Watching them become crushed is beautiful because obviously this football game at the minute is nasty. So everything is either hating or PR. So obviously people will question each other's players. This guy's shit, that guy's good, world class, whatever. When one of your ops, like they're playing well or their players, they're going to pump whatever group chat or whatever space you are with propaganda for their players constantly. Oh, Arteta, man. Oh, Odegaard, what a player. Oh, Saka this. Oh, Salah. Blah, blah, blah. The silence.
I've never seen the timeline so quiet today.
You get when these brothers lose is amazing.
It's just peaceful, isn't it?
Yeah.
No Declan Rice for player of the year shouts. No Havertz gas. Teta's better than him, that person, and the next person.
And then once they turn on each other, and then they start,
the mask is starting to slip on. Like the mask, they know Declan Rice is media on the ball. They know Havertz ass. Like they know deep down, they know.
Rolex bro. Is TikToking, brother.
Bro,
if we could put a knife in,
nah, it is so funny because like.
Yeah.
It's so funny that they try to lie to my face, and I just said. oh, wait, that's fine.
Time will tell, man. You don't need to talk too much. Time will tell. All right, let's whiz through these. Next one is from KCPK1988. Firstly, what day party did you all reach to skip main pods? Just life, bro. Like, it was the ops losing. So the fact that people weren't on, you know they had plans that just meant... Because if it was anything frivolous, that's getting dropped, man. My brother's birthday, dash out.
That's my brother's birthday.
Your birthday is now the 15th of April.
I'm telling you right now,
finished.
If I had to go to ditch all that pod, hey, man.
have we reached the hope we lose section of the manager cycle? Yes, we have. Because we can't have any sort of results that make the guys think, you know what, with the right resources, this guy may be able to turn it around. Absolute mess. Absolute mess of a manager, man. Good riddance and good luck. But not really. The JG11__. Can this season be seen as a success as United now have some young cornerstones to base their team around for the future? Mainly Garnacho Diallo.
That's what we thought 8 years ago. And now people are doing goodbye comes for Martial. So...
Rashford's not far behind him by the state of
People are talking about Rashford like he's cooked gone. Food.
Yeah, that, bro, that's so crazy to me. Like, they're actually talking about him like he's gone.
They're talking like that. Like, no, but do you understand? He just comes out and does fuck all week in, week out. That's not normal. He just comes out and does fuck all week in, week out. Nah, man. There's something wrong with him. Week in, week out. He just comes out and does fuck all. Like, what's going on here? And the maddest thing is how talented he is. Like, you hear how his peers speak about him as a player and how he obviously performs in training and whatnot. And he's just out there on the pitch and just, I don't know. I think he's another one.
Game just passing by, man.
The confidence thing, like, impacts him massively. I think when he's confident, he's not thinking. Everything's just happening for him. But I don't think he's confident now. I don't think he's happy. He knows how the fan base feels about him. All these different platforms use his name as an opportunity to, like, boost their algorithms and whatnot. But what he serves up, man, it's nowhere to hide. This is the thing. There's nowhere to hide. And it's just not good enough, man. So I hear it. I hear why people are talking about him like this. And I'm hoping that, again, he can turn it around next season. But this might just be Rashford, man. Good season, bad season. Good season, bad season. So, life. Anyway, next one from ZS_London. It's very unlikely, but is there any chance the right gaffer can save the club? For example, Xabi Alonso.
I think it's got to be a perfect relationship between all parts of the club. So front office to coaching staff to playing staff, it all has to be like, it all has to connect and be right. Like, I don't think there's any one like savior. We ain't gonna sign two players that's gonna come and save the club. Omar Berada and flipping Jason Wilcox aren't gonna save the club. All of them have to have a good relationship, be on the same page, and that's how all well club. That's how all well run clubs are.
Facts. I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think you can have a great manager. If he's not in the right organization, they can't make the best and vice versa. And you also need the players connected, dialed in. And I think the mentality and psychological part is so different now. But yeah, we keep moving. Alec_Prez, what is the drive that keeps you lot coming weekly knowing we're this bad? Apart from love, support the club. How do you find the answer? How do you find the energy? Any answers would help, because I can't do it anymore. This is what keeps me going, to be honest.
I can't even lie.
You've never been in a toxic relationship before.
This is what keeps me going. Like, I'm not that angry about United. And I was saying to a friend, I think it's because of the pods, because I get to come on here, discuss it, we find a way to just laugh at how shit we are, and then we just keep it moving. But I think if I didn't have this platform with you guys to have these conversations and discuss the game, then it would need somewhere to. So I think that's what keeps me going, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because I can't even like. I think there was a month where I just didn't come on the pod, and now it's just like creeping into my bed. I just kept getting like flashes, like like it was getting bad. So I was like, yeah, man, it's definitely the pod. I can't even lie.
Agreed, man. And we've bumped into a few listeners over the years who kind of mentioned the same thing, that just listening to the pod and just hearing us be able to just obviously break down the game and whatnot, but still be able to just have a laugh just makes it that much easier, you know? So, listen, the name's Muga. Maybe once we become good, that's when we retire. That's our job done.
What's the name of the pod going to be when we're good again?
I mean, like I said, we just need to make it past tense. Made United great again.
that could still run, fam. Cool. Next question is from It's Just a Burnaby. Which 10 would you sign to replace Bruno in the current market, or any in-squad solutions, Mount?
How long do we have?
I really would love Florian.
Bring me Vert. Florian Wirtz. Bring me Jamal Musiala. Bring me Javi Simmons. Bring me Morgan Gibbs-White. Bring me Abere Eze. Bring me Desiree Doué. Bring me...
so many. Bring Paqueta.
Bring me Paqueta.
So many, man. Cool. Next question. It's a long one. If we have time, maybe that might be our last one. CNG boy. Describe the style of play and or philosophy United should have. Is there any... So obviously there's so many different ways managers set up. Is there any way certain managers play or certain teams play and you're like, I wish that's how my team played?
Bring me Ipswich ball.
Boy.
Bring me Kieran McKenna ball.
Boy.
Alumni. That's developed here. Well, a little bit, not too much, but yeah. Yeah. They just got the goal of the season in the, was it in the Championship or in the Football League full stop?
Football League, and he got manager of the season for the Championship.
Hey, listen, competing against the teams he's competing against, he's got modest resources. I think Leicester's got the highest wage. I think Leicester's got the highest wage bill in Europe, like outside of the Big Six in the Prem. I think that's actually
their finances are a fucking mess. It's absolutely insane.
Well, maybe I made that up because I'm sure Barcelona. I think Barcelona's up there, but yeah, Leicester's high up on the list.
Yeah. They kept everybody, I guess, with the hope, with the expectation that they're going to get promoted.
I think even if they get promoted and get that parachute payment, they will still make a loss.
No, like literally, they are. It's basically a thing of which league they are going to get a points deduction in. They are finished. It's not a joke, bro. Like their wages to turnover is over 100%.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
It is insane. Like it is absolutely bonkers. So, like, them, man, what Ipswich are doing against Leeds and Leicester is absolutely insane. And, yeah, man, shout out to the manager, innit?
Yeah, shout out to the manager, man. For AFS, do you think Bruno has a mentality to be a student? Or can you imagine him losing his head while reading the first question of an exam? He's chilling normally, but he looked like he was absolutely fuming on Saturday, man.
Yeah, man. He did. The thing is, he wasn't... The worst thing about Bruno is that he somehow brought me down to his level where I'm not sure if it's just a bad performance for him or if it's just an all right performance for him or if it's just a bad performance. I can't tell anymore.
You can't differentiate.
Like, it's so annoying. Like, he's just like on Saturday, I'm not sure if he played well for his standards, played well for normal standards, or if he played badly. I just can't tell anymore. He's just a fucking punk, man.
It's all a blur, bro.
I rate people that still run Bruno agenda like full time, you know, like Diesel and them, man. I rate it because, like, it at some point you have to admit that we lost. Like, come on, man. Come on, like, let's be real. We lost, bro.
The worst thing is, somehow we've not lost, but we've lost, and I can't explain it. But it just makes me sick.
We've lost. That's why I gave it. Like, it was the first, like, that year. I feel like every pod I came on, regardless of what he did, I was like, he was shit this week. Like, when the last time you really, like, he won, bro. He's a club captain. He's the face of the team. The fan base love him. He'll always find a way to do some sort of defining action within a game to justify all the crap that he's done before. And that's enough for people, man.
The only way
he eventually gets caught out is the team improves and it starts to show that he's not of the level required of where
I feel like our time's not now. It's lacking of like 2-3 years. We can do some revisionism and then we can cook him. I feel like now he's going to keep doing things.
The only way we could get our lick back is if he leaves and we get good immediately.
Yeah.
get like, your lip back
directly after, like, the dynasty started after him. Like, that's
then you could be like, it was, we told you. He's not going nowhere, man.
He's made me suffer enough, bro. I've given up.
No, but you know what? He has what, 2 years left?
Yeah, he'll be signed, bro.
Oh, it's getting there, isn't it?
No, but like 2 years left. He's what, 29, 30.
I don't think he's getting another big contract after this.
Yeah, Ineos.
Maybe just add a year or so rather than like a whole brand new like 4 year contract or whatever. Because what this was going to take him to what, 32, 33? Yeah. He's 28, 29 now, right?
He's 29, I believe.
Yeah, so this guy's getting old. I don't remember what signing was at.
Yeah, he's 29. He's turning 30 in September. I can't lie. And he has what, 2 years left?
Mm.
Yeah, if I am Ineos, I am selling him straight. What? That's easy money.
That's you though. Who's signing him, brother?
I know Simeone has a plan.
Diego, that's a match made in. That's
him. No. Think about it. Him and Rodrigo to pull in midfield.
Maybe if Inzaghi is still at Inter, then that could be a shot.
I think they would have to move on Barella, probably, because they don't have enough money for that.
So many clubs are broke.
How can you win a league, go to a Champions League final, Coppa Italia, and still have no money, bruv?
Bro, their owners have cooked them. Their owners have cooked them. Cooked them.
Yeah, didn't they get some private equity money and then? Yeah, I think.
Even that private equity money, that was just to basically pay off loans. Like that, they had to sell Onana. They had to sell Lukaku. Like it's not good.
Yeah, I know, man. It was a hell of a run, Inter, over 100 years or so. Mide don't care. Do you feel like Chan's like the US? Are doing more damage to our players as they seem to overly criticize, abuse them, or give them preferential treatment when they don't deserve it? it's a popular fan channel. I mean, we don't talk about other channels on our pod. You for one word, second word S. He also put in stars. The players see it. I think the players see it. It influences the fans. I think in this social media era, everybody sees everything and everyone reads everything. So I think it has some sort of impact to a certain level. And I think it will also depend on the person's character as well. Some people are going to be more impacted by that sort of thing than others. If it was me, for the most part, I just wouldn't read it. I think it's just not going to do you any good. People inflate in your head to make you think you're better than you are. But then even more so when they don't like you, I'd just avoid it as much as I possibly can, man, if it was me.
I mean, the thing is, I feel like, obviously, these fan channels, they're fans, isn't it? So, they're going to criticize, they're going to praise.
Not on that channel, they're not.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to be fans. So, but I feel like I find people's opposition to them quite funny when you consider what has happened on Sky and in the papers the past few years against guys like Rashford and Lingard and Martial and Pogba. And the club has not come out. I don't think the club came out and done enough to protect them, because so some of the stuff that people were just allowed to say about them was kind of ridiculous. So it's just like when a fan channel does it, it's apparently bad for the reputation of the club or the players. But when you're seeing it on Sky, you don't care about the club intervening. It's just weird to me. But I mean, that channel is just, I mean, they're fans and they get on the biggest personalities to get their clicks. That's what they've always done. That's what they're always going to do. Before it was Andy Tate, who was harmless, was a nice guy. Now they have one. Those fucking cunts, so whatever.
Yeah, couldn't have said it any better than that, brother. Elijah Reams, Dr. Michael had to hop off. Always a pleasure. They ask, how do we keep doing it? Discussing football with you fine fellows. One of my good pleasures of my week, man. Take care. Do this all over again next week.
Peace.
Love.
187, that's Andrew Cole.
I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check my record and learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole. I screw my thing, I don't need to talk. I shoot my shot, I hit my goals, I let man act like they don't know. Check man's record, I learn that code. 187, that's Andrew Cole. Murder a beat, I'm cold. When I link up with bro, that's I did it like Andrew Cole, I just do my thing, I don't need to. Middle with the field in check like scores. But I still grind and chase my goals. When I get a chance, man's veins get cold.
Sports Social Podcast Network.